places. Acts chapter 1 and Luke chapter 6. I want to finish what I started last Sunday morning. We'll start with in Acts, first chapter, first verse. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The former treatise is referring to the Gospel of Luke. And Luke is the one that responsible for writing the book of Acts. So the two are connected together. And he's the former treatise, Luke is saying. And Theophilus means lover of God. Now, whether there was actually a person named Theophilus that was a lover of God is debatable. Theophilus could mean all those who do love him, you see. Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels that Jesus actually was in at that time and ministering the Word and the Gospel, just like you were saying. That was a time when he was in his flesh. Now, the Old Testament was not that way, and the rest of the New Testament is not that way. Just those four Gospels have the ministry of Jesus Christ as a man on earth. And it says that he began to do and to teach. So those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is an account of what he began to do and began to teach. Now, wherever there's a beginning, there has to be an ending. And the ending is yet to come. So, there has to be, and we can't cover all this this morning, but I think you understand that what Jesus did while he was on earth, so many, many things. It talks about what he did, what he taught, how he ministered to the multitudes, healed the sick, raised the dead, many things. But the number one thing that he did that was more important than anything else was when he chose those 12 disciples and he ministered to them. And the reason is because he knew that the day would come, he was going to be crucified. And he's going to go back to heaven to become what he was before he ever came through Mary. And what he did while he was on earth was just the beginning of his doing and his teaching. There has to be a completion. And so those 12 disciples were to become the many-membered Christ and to complete the doings and the teachings of the Lord. And they did, up to a point. It still hasn't been completed. All right, let's read on for a little bit. Until the day, in verse 2, in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen. So those 12 disciples that he chose would become apostles. An apostle means one that is sent. They're going to be sent to finish what the Lord had started. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. For 40 days, Jesus, after he was crucified and after he was resurrected, for 40 days he ministered to those disciples. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So with everything that he had taught them, everything that he had ministered to those 12, they were yet not complete. And that's why he says, now do not depart from Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Had to be a completion so that they could become the Christ and the earth. Now, go to Luke chapter 6. If you have a question, you're allowed to ask. But I want you to get this, and I don't know how well I'm going to be able to explain it. But of all the millions of people that have become Christians, there still remains the need for the body of Christ. It's one thing to be a Christian, but it's another thing to be a member of the Christ that is going to complete everything that he started when he was on earth. Let's begin with verse 12 in Luke 6. Came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. So at this particular time, he had many, 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 many disciples. But of the disciples, he only chose 12 to be apostles, whom also he named apostles. They were going to be the ones that were sent to finish the job that he started as Jesus the Nazarene. And then verses 14, 15, and 16 gives the names of these 12. And you know that, so I'm just going to skip over it and go to verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So a vast multitude came, and he healed them. In verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now everything that Luke goes over here and speaks about is not only what Jesus did as the Christ, but it's also speaking about what the many-membered Christ is to be and to do also. Verse 20, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, he said, well, I don't know about that being poor business. Being poor is very, very important. You do not receive or come into the kingdom of God without first being poor. As long as you think you're something special, you got a big head, and then it's going to be very difficult for you to be a part of the kingdom of God. Verse 21, blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. And what is this hunger? Well, I don't know that I want to be hungry. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about being hungry to become, been hungry to become the Christ on the earth. Now, we've got thousands upon thousands of churches, all different kind of denominations, and some that are not denominations at all. But most of them are not very hungry. Most of them are not going to become the Christ on the earth. Anybody can become a Christian. Just go to church, repent of your sins, say, I want to be saved, and you automatically you become a Christian. But how many Christians ever become members of the body of Christ? All of those different organizations are man-made organizations. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul speaks about, he says, you are carnal, in verse 32, in verse 3, you are carnal, whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions. Problem between the different denominations. And Paul says, you're carnal, and you're walking as men. For while one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministered by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. But so even back in that time, there was a division. Some, well, I'm of Paul. Others said, I'm of Luke, or whatever the case was. Such divisions, and that division is not of God. At some point, every denomination is going to cease because God's going to tear it down. There's only going to be one body of Christ. All right, where did I stop? Luke 6. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Have you got a hunger to become? Verse 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, you continue to read this chapter 6 of Luke, and you get the feeling of what he's really talking about. He's saying, those of you that are going to become the Christ on the earth to finish the ministry that Jesus began, this is the way you're going to function. These are things that are going to take place in your life. Blessed of you when men shall hate you. Did they hate Christ? They did. Are they going to hate the many-membered Christ as it comes on the scene? Yeah. Yes, they are. 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You say, such persecution that we're going to have to endure, and we're going to rejoice in it? Yeah. Did Jesus rejoice when he was being persecuted? Why? Well, the many-membered body of Christ is going to go through the same thing. Verse 24, woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall be hungry. In other words, if you're full, that means I got all I need, got all I want. I've gone just as far into this Christianity thing as I want to go. I'm full. I don't need any more. Well, days will come you're going to be hungry. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. There are a lot of people that laugh at us. Verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. In other words, is it going to make any difference whether people speak well of you or not? Well, I don't like people to speak evil of me. Well, guess what? How do they speak of Christ? It's not going to be any different for the many-membered body of Christ. Verse 27, but I say unto you which hear. Now, these are the things that we if we're going to become the Christ on the earth, these are things that we will have to do and be. But I say unto you in verse 27, which here, love your enemies. Well, I don't know if I got any enemies. Well, you will have once you become the Christ. And how are you going to respond to them? You're going to love them. You're going to be good to the ones that hate you. Verse 28, bless them that curse you. You know how we are as human beings. Somebody curses us, we want to curse them right back. See if you'll get away with that one, buddy. Bless them that curse you. Why do we have to do that? Because this is what Jesus did. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Verse 29, and unto him that smites thee on one cheek, what do? Offer him the other cheek too. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. Because this is the way Jesus did. And we have to do the same thing as a many-membered Christ. 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. So there's no profit in loving people that love you. Where the good is when you love them that don't love you. And 33, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And 34, if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. In other words, to become the Christ in the earth is going to require something, require a change. We're going to have to stop being human. 35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So what Luke is saying here is, if we're going to be the Christ in the earth, there's some big changes that are going to have to take place. It ain't just going to happen. You have to leave your humanism. Judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Ooh. I can't remember doing anything that I need to be forgiven of. Right there, that's one. Think you're something that you're not. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. What you give out will come back upon you.
Yeah.
It's basically the same. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And so, is God looking for a lot of Christians? He's looking for those particular Christians that are willing to become a part of the many-membered Christ in the earth. We're going to give some thinking to this. What is it that we want to become? But nothing just happens. Ezekiel chapter 36. I was reading this yesterday, I think it was. And I said, God, I need that. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you. That's step number one, to realize we still have a filthiness that needs to be cleaned. Then verse 26, a new heart will I give you. Well, it's not easy for me to understand. I need a new heart. One I got to work too well. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. And verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This doesn't just happen. It's something that God has to do. And I really believe it would help if we cry out to the Lord and say, God, I need that new heart that you promised. I need that new spirit that you promised. I need your spirit within me that I might walk in your statutes.